Is that your question? Actually, the time of the feast and worship of the Father should be dedicated to bringing the offerings to the Father, because this is a time for the worship. Let me just again help the saints to see the difference, right, of the so-called giving testimonies, of sharing, or the matter of the offerings. Actually, in the Bible, you have three different words. The first word that everybody knows is to give a testimony. Strictly speaking, the testimony is not for the Father. The Lord says, "You are my witnesses. You are my witnesses." So the testimony is for us to testify, to be a witness to the unbelievers for the Lord Jesus Christ. Testify the Lord Jesus Christ to the unbelievers. So the word testimony has something to do with this word witness, right?
Yes, yes.
So you don't witness to God because God knows everything. And you don't have to witness our Lord Jesus Christ, the God Almighty.所以如果我们说做见证，不是向着水做见证，不是向什么人做见证，大部分应该是向不信的人为主做见证，因为主说了你是。 And even the Lord Jesus is called a faithful witness in the book of Revelation, chapter 1. He is the faithful witness. So the testimony is really to be a witness, and that is toward the unbelievers, mainly, yeah? Unbelievers. Toward the unbelievers. And the second word that the Bible uses is to prophesy. Okay? Prophesy. To prophesy. This is in 1 Corinthians 14. Right? You can all prophesy. Who are you going to prophesy to God? Are you going to prophesy to God? Of course not. God doesn't need you to prophesy to Him, right? And this word prophesy, we use sharing, okay? We use this word sharing. Oh, what are you going to share?
分享. 你要向谁分享？向神，神不要不需要你向他分享，是他要向你分享，不是你向他分享。
Right? You don't prophesy to the Father, you prophesy to the saints for the edification of the brothers and sisters. That's why Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14, you can all prophesy and do it for the edification of the body, of the saints. So prophesying, sharing, you have a message, you have a song, you have a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge, all of these are for the edification of the brothers and sisters.
Yes.
Okay? Now we come this is for the saints, okay?
I'm just going to write here.
For the saints, and the purpose is for the education, right? Now, this, you can do it anywhere. All the believers in work, you can do it in the bus, you can do it to your friends, anytime, anywhere, right? You can preach the gospel at work, right? You share the gospel to your colleagues and school, right? And a sound college. Yeah, you're not there just to study, you're there to be a witness, right? Even to the so-called priests. Yeah, one time I asked the priest, how come you shave your head here? Anyway, you have to realize that this is toward the unbelievers anywhere, and prophecy or prophesying, right? We call it prophesying, right? I'm just going to just use this word again. It's an S, right? Oh, I'm sorry. Prophesying is in the meetings or anywhere you can share at home, or some saints come to your home and you share Word, the Bible, right, and some of your experience you can share with them. This is the prophesy. Now, number three, there's another word which is called the offering. To bring your offerings, right? You bring it to whom?
God.
Not to one another. Okay. Right? I cannot bring a sacrifice to you. No, the sacrifice, the offerings, they are for the Father. Right? To bring spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. So, you have the offerings is for God, our Father. For God, our Father. So, you have this three words, right? You all agree?
Yes.
Yeah, right? So, because there are three classes of people. You have unbelievers, and then you have the saints, but here you have God the Father. Now, when do you bring the offerings to God the Father? It's the feast, the Lord's table. We are keeping the feasts of the Lord, and after remembering the Lord, we bring the offerings to the Father. Every one of us, because each one of us is a priest. So every priest here will bring their offerings to the Father. Right? So, the question is, if after the breaking of bread, everybody is bringing their offerings to the Father, may we also share a testimony. Well, we just said testimony is mainly for the unbelievers. The sharing, and you can share anytime, anywhere, but this particular time is mainly to worship the Father. Okay? 其实啊，老早我们就有这个文明聚会。 The first part is 纪念主, to remember the Lord. And the second part is 敬拜父. 其实我们老早就有这个观念，但是没有这样做。啊，父神只有一首诗歌，两首诗歌，怎么敬拜？Right? So, actually, we all have this concept from the very beginning, I'm sure also you brothers in Mindanao. The first part of the Lord's table is to remember the Lord, right? And after that, it is worship the Father. I don't know if you practice this kind of a Kant said before, because it's been around for so many centuries, for us so many decades. Right? It started with the Brethren in 1827 or something like that, during those years. But how do you worship the Father? You worship the Father by bringing the spiritual sacrifices, the offerings. Right? So this second part is specially for the use of bringing the offerings to the Father for the worship. But if somebody is want to give a testimony of how they, I don't know what happened. Of course, we don't want to stop them. But it's not sinful to do that, right? It is just not at the appropriate time, but if somebody wants to do it, you don't stop. Right? It is okay. But all the saints have to realize that the second part of our Lord's table is for the worship of the Father. So we all should come with the spiritual sacrifices, the burnt offering, the meal offering, peace offering, the wave offering, the eve offering, right? Sin offering, trespass offering. Right? All of these, right, you can bring to the Father. You can even bring a little drink offering to the Father. Why not? Right? So that is the time for us to worship God. That's why we have this wonderful song here, right? Let's take a look here. Hymn number 3. To worship God, we cannot come empty-handed. It's not just in the song, okay? It's in the Bible. 3 times a year, all your meal must come to Jerusalem to eat the feast, and do not come empty-handed. Right? So Christ is our meal of peace and burnt oblation. Help me, O Lord, not to take this for granted, but to labor daily and grow much Christ diligently. Right? May the Spirit teach us daily these offerings to prepare. To worship the Father truly is longing to satisfy. This verse is very scriptural. Very scriptural. So I hope that this answers your question. Amen. In the house of the Lord, we also have to be what word should I say? Not only to be in harmony, but to not be so strict, like a school teacher. Right? Just let the saints do it. It doesn't really matter. But then, on the other hand, we need to encourage the saints to understand what is it to bring the offerings to the Father. We are not going to make it a rule or a system you can only bring it, you know, because I know, somewhere, breaking of bread, you cannot give testimony, only praise and songs. We have no such law, right? Don't do that. I don't think the Father and the Lord will argue if this is my time, you're remembering me. Right? So here you are. How come you call him to worship the Father? Now it's my turn. I don't think so, right? We really have to have a bigger heart. Not so narrow. You know, this is what happens if we are just religious. Don't be like that, okay? We are not practicing a religion. We are God's family, you know. If you have so many children in the family, you know, someone will sooner or later make some mistakes, right? Doesn't really matter. Okay? If they want to do it, they can still do it. But they have to learn to bring an alpha. It takes time.
Just a follow-up question.
Yeah, please.
In the churches in Mindanao, we practice sharing. But as what I have observed here, our sharing is just like an offering. We did not only distinguish with what. Which it is a prophesying or an offering. So, how can we
differentiate
the offerings and prophesying or sharing?
That's a good question. It is a good question. First of all, we need to understand what the offerings are. In Leviticus chapters 1 to 7, right? Especially 1 to 5, you have there five major offerings. Number 1, you have a burnt offering. Number 2, you have a meal offering. Then you have the peace offering. Then you have the sin offering. You have the trespass offering. You have five major offerings in the book of Leviticus. And it is the requirement of the Father that we bring the offerings to him, right? And we all need to help the brothers and sisters to understand what is the meaning of the burnt offering. I think everybody knows what is the trespass offering, because, you know, we always ask for forgiveness, and we committed a sin or an offense, and we confess to the Lord, forgive me, Lord, and take the precious blood. Well, that is a trespass offering, right? A sin offering is much more and stronger than a trespass offering, because Christ as our sin offering is to free us from the dominion of sin and death. That means to set us free, so that we are no longer a slave of sin. Right? That we are strengthened to overcome sin. Just like, for example, in Romans chapter 8, verse 2, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free. So this is really a very important factor. We don't just have the forgiveness through his blood. Then tomorrow we sin again. That means we're not free. And oh, Lord, forgive me. And then in the morning I receive the forgiveness, in the afternoon I do it again. That means I am not free. So the Lord did not just die on the cross to shed his blood for our forgiveness, but he died to set us free. Right? That is why one of the point, a very important point of his death on the cross is that he destroyed him who has the power of death. That is the devil. Right? So now you are free and you can with boldness tell the devil, get lost, if you're dead. Right? Because Christ, through death, has destroyed him who has the power of death, right? Which is the devil, and set us free from the law of sin and death. And now we can resist him. We can say no, because sin shall have no more power and dominion over us. That is the sin. So there is a differentiation, right? A difference between sin offering and Christ as our trespass offering. Sin offering deals with the root of sin, whereas the trespass offering deals with the sins that we have committed. Right? So you need to make a difference between these two, right? One is to help you to overcome sin. And trespass offering is in case you sin, then you need a trespass offering. You need to confess, Lord forgive me. And the Lord's blood will cleanse us and wash us from all our sins. Okay, these are the two offerings. Then we have the burnt offering, and burnt offering signifies the life of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is fully, absolutely well-pleasing to the Father. He came to do the will of the Father. His whole life, living as a man on this earth, is to fulfill the will of the Father. So the scripture says, behold, I came to do your will. And this is very important because fallen human being, although he says, Father, I want to do your will, but we end up doing our own will, doing what we wanted to. Right? So the burnt offering shows us this wonderful Christ who lived a life fully and absolutely one with the Father to fulfill his will. This is why the Lord Jesus said once in John chapter 4, my food is to do the will of the Father who sent me and to finish it. Many times we just do it a little bit and then we quit. Right? We are not really one with the Father. There's so many Christian workers, they say they're serving God, but they end up serving themselves. Right? So we need to know, experience Christ as the burning offering, because we need him to be our life, such a life that will fulfill God's will on this earth. That's why the Lord helped us to pray, Father, may your name be glorified, your kingdom come, and your will be done in Mindanao, You are there for the Father's will, not just to do some Christian work. Right? So we need Christ as the burnt offering, living a life that is absolutely for the fulfillment of God's will. This is the meaning of the burnt offering. We need to, all the priests need to know this. They have to be experts through practice and learning, right, how to handle all of these offerings. It's the first job of a priest. Really? So a priest must know exactly what is a burnt offering and how to present this wonderful offering to the Father for his satisfaction. Now, the second offering is the meal offering, the fine flour. And the fine flour signifies the fine and perfect humanity of the Lord Jesus. Our humanity is very rough, not very fine. We are like just grain, not grounded. We are rough. Our humanity, just something happens and we will be quarreling, arguing. Right? There's so much conflict there in the church life. So much problem. So many problems. But the humanity of the Lord Jesus is just like fine flour. Remember, the Lord says he's a grain of wheat. Right? In John, the Gospel of John, he says in chapter 12, verse 24, he is like a grain of wheat that fell into the ground to bring forth much fruit. So here, the fine flour signifies the fine humanity of the Lord Jesus. So balanced. So wonderful. Right? Now, in this fine humanity, there is no leaven in it. Christ is the unleavened bread that came down from heaven. There are many types of leaven. You have the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Right? The teaching brought in, they brought in their own tradition and human teaching, man's teaching. Mix it with God's word. So at the end, you don't know what you are eating. Go ahead. Right? Because they put some leaven in it, and leaven of hypocrisy. Right? The leaven of Herod, the leaven of hypocrisy, leaven of malice, wickedness, sinful things. That's what Paul said, right, in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. And then in Galatians chapter 4. Paul talks about the leaven of religion, the laws and of the Old Testament. The Jews are trying to bring it to the Christians to keep the law and, so much mixture. But in the humanity of the Lord Jesus, it is pure. No sin. Sin is not in him. But in our humanity, right, that's why we need the sin offering and we need the trespass. So, the meal offering talks about the humanity of the Lord Jesus. And baked into cakes. Really wonderful. Right? Going through all kinds of trials. And really wonderful, the Lord becomes the real food for God and food for the priests. Is our food. Right? The Lord says, I am the bread of life that came down from heaven. So praise the Lord, we have to eat Christ. When we talk about eating Christ, we usually talk about prayer reading, right? Prayer reading is what? I'm not against prayer reading. Yes, prayer reading is right. But if prayer reading becomes just a kind of a habit, and we are just repeating the words in the Bible, that is not eating Christ. I don't know what it is, but it is not eating Christ. It's just repeating the word. In the beginning, amen, was the word, amen, the word, amen. And the word was, amen, with Christ, amen. This is not eating Christ. Sorry. I don't know what it is, but it is not eating Christ. Strictly speaking, to eat Christ is to eat this fine humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, we need the Word. But we need the Word, and using prayer to mingle with the Word for us to see this wonderful Christ, whatever Christ He is, and then through faith we mingle it with the Word and receive this fine humanity of the Lord. It's not just repeating with the Word by saying amen. I know I've been practicing that 40 some years ago. And I realize eating Christ is more than just saying amen to the Lord. So all of these offerings is important. Then you have the peace offering. The peace offering is in the middle, which is to have peace with God, to be fully reconciled with God. Christ is our peace. Right? Peace with God, peace with the saints, peace within yourself. We need peace, otherwise we'll be quarreling all the time. In the church, if there is no peace, we'll be fighting all the time and arguing or so many opinions, man's opinion. It's okay to have opinion, but if you insist, there will be fighting. Right? There's so much unrest. So peace offering is very important. Now, all of these are truly the experiences of Christ. Now I come to your question. What is the difference between the experience of Christ, right, in your daily living, and the offerings? Actually, according to the Bible, the first fruits belongs to the Father. You know what a first fruits mean, right? Yeah. Suddenly from Mindanao, you have a lot of farming and plantation. Right? You have a lot of wonderful mangoes, perhaps durian, I don't know, do you eat durian, right? And you have a lot of different fruit trees. And so you have the first fruits. First fruits means that the fruit that ripen first in a tree, right? In a mango tree. In my backyard, there are some fruits that ripen early. This is the first fruits. God says the first fruits belongs to me. You cannot eat it at home, in your backyard. You cannot share it with anybody. You must bring them to Jerusalem during the time of feast and offer. And number two, the firstborn of the cattle. Right? The firstborn, only the firstborn. The rest belongs to you. You can kill it, do anything you like with it, but the firstborn belongs to him. You have to bring it to him. Right? So, and then the tithe, the tenth of the oil. Tins of the wine, right? You need to bring, of course, the best. This is why in Leviticus it says you have to bring the best of the first fruits. They belong to me, God says. Now, if you compare the first fruits and those fruits that ripen 3 weeks later or 4 weeks later, is there a difference?
Yes.
Out of what kind of difference?
The first is bigger than the second.
The first is bigger?
Yes.
Right. But it's still a mango, right? The taste may be a little sweeter, I don't know, but it tastes the same. And sometimes they even look the same. But the difference is that it ripens first. This is the first fruit, and this is the general harvest. So the first fruit belongs to the Father. Yes, there is a difference. But what about the firstborn of the cow? And the second, third, fourth? They look the same. But they are not. Right?
Yeah,
they look the same. Yeah. Yes. Some, maybe some different, right? There will be always some different. But the firstborn belongs to the Father. And you have to keep the best and bring it as an offering to God. It can be a burnt offering, it can be a meal offering, it can be a peace offering, etc. Right? You have to bring them to the Father. It may be an experience of Christ, right? But it is the best experience. You will know what is the best. You will know. Right? You must keep that for the Father. The rest you can share it with the saints anytime. Right? You can share it as a testimony, okay. Right? But the best in that very week, you must keep it and bring it to the Father. As an offering. Can you imagine if all the saints bring the best of their experience as this offering to the Father, how glorious will be to you. Right? And it is not just, oh, I was sick and the Lord really healed me. Well, what offering is that? It's just that the Lord has mercy on you and healed you. But, you know, it's a testimony that the Lord really healed you. Right? He healed you. Right? But you cannot, you will not know. It's such a general experience of Christ. Right? Oh, you can bring it as a maybe a Thanksgiving offering. Right? Maybe you can do that. Which is okay. Right? But the burning offering, it is very necessary for all of us to prepare this offering. Why? Because God wants you to experience Christ in order to live a life that is fully for Him. It's a very specific purpose there. Because as a fallen human being, we tend to live for ourselves. Right? It's always for me. This is for me. That is for me. Even many times the experience of God is for me. But you have to realize it is for the glory of God our Father. Right? And it's not just experiencing the Lord in a general way, but to experience Christ as a person who lives for the will of God. And so in daily living, right, many times the Lord tells you to stop. Don't do that. Will you still go ahead and do it? Okay. If it is just by myself, I will tell the Lord, Lord, but I like to do that. Well, let me do it just now, this time. Right? So even in little things like that, you choose to satisfy your own will instead of the will of the Father. Right? Suppose you are busy in something and you want to get maybe this thing done, your hobby or whatever, and the Lord says, hey, drop that, come, spend some time with me. What are you going to choose? What do you want to do? Right? So you must learn in many different ways in your daily living to choose to do the will of the Father.
even though it is a small matter. Right? And maybe you really love to buy these things. Right? You want to... Also, the Lord says, don't buy the thing. It's useless for you. You're wasting your money. But you really love that thing. So what are you going to do? You want to buy it? Or you just want to drop it? Drop it? You sure? Okay. Praise the Lord. If you drop it, amen, you gain Christ as a burnt offering. Because at that moment in that situation, you choose to follow the will of the Lord. And maybe in a certain situation, you want to lose your temper and you want to express and say something you shouldn't say. And the Spirit within you, the Lord, tells you to keep quiet. Don't say anything. What are you going to do? Keep quiet. It's very hard, right? Really very hard to keep quiet. But you take Christ as your burnt offering. He says, Lord, I want to experience you as my burnt offering. Keep quiet. Right? And if you take Christ as a burnt offering and you keep quiet within your heart, you will have peace. You will not keep quiet with the burning eye. That is not keeping quiet. That's your... that is practicing just yourself there. No. If you take Christ as the burnt offering to keep quiet, you will really have peace within you. You will not react. Otherwise, after you keep quiet, you go back to your room, you're angry. I should have said something, right? Right. You regret that you kept quiet. So that is not Christ as the burnt offering. Right? You know, when the Lord was on this earth, in every situation he was one with God. That's why you don't see the Lord reacting. Right? So, this is to experience such a wonderful Christ as the obedient one, fully to the Father's will. This is the burnt offering. Now, of course, in the week, during the week, you have a lot of situation where you can gain Christ as your burnt offering. You have many situations that you bring the best of your experience by Christ as a burnt offering and bring it to the feast, to Jerusalem, to the feast, and you offer it up to the Father. Yeah, sometimes you have two or three offerings, that's fine, praise the Lord. Right? Because many of the offerings are interrelated. Right? So, I hope this answers you. And this is your right related to his question. But the offerings among many different experiences, the difference is that it is the best, it is the first fruits, it is the firstborn, right, that you reserved for the Father. You don't share it with anybody else, but you offer it first to the Father. And if you practice that after half a year, after a few months, you will see your life will change. Unconsciously, more and more, you will begin to live a life, a Christ-like life, to be for the will of the Father. In the beginning, you need to struggle up. Lord, it's very hard, but I take you, right, as my burnt offering. Then, 2 or 3 months later, it is easier. It's easier.
after 6 months, half a year, 8 months, wow, it becomes much, much easier. It becomes a part of your life. After 2, 3 years, you'll be conformed to Christ. It will be so easy for you to drop it. Okay? And if somebody did anything, say anything, anyone to react immediately, you're already trained to Christ. Christ becomes such a wonderful burden offering in your life. You will not make an issue. Otherwise, in the church life, we make an issue of very, very little thing. Right? Somebody doesn't agree with you, you're not happy. Right? Somebody said anything to offend you, you're already reacting. Right? But look at the life of our Lord Jesus Christ. He came only to live a life that is well pleasing to him. Amazing. Here is a man that says, Father, I know you always hear because I always do the things that are well pleasing. I think it's very hard for us to say that, right? Very hard because we don't practice. Okay, amen. Okay, is that clear? Good.
Just try to speak English with them.
Yeah, English is fine.
Even though I am not doing, I'm just.
Go ahead.
My question, as a mission student, the government of the priest, that's meaning the holiness of Lord Jesus and the materialistic.
The
government
of the priest, yes.
Government of the priest. And one of the material is the white linen.
Right.
The righteous deeds.
The righteous deeds of the saints. Which is
there Christ. Are some jobs in our brothers in Mindanao. What's that called? Solemnizing the wedding.
Solemnizing the wedding.
Solemnizing officer. Solemnizing officer of the wedding.
Okay, what do you call that in English?
Mangangasal sa amin na tawag.
No, there is an officiate.
Solemnizing? Solemnizer
officer. How do you say that in English, somebody who performs a wedding?
Officiate.
Yes.
Officiating wedding.
Yes, the officiate wedding.
As before, many elders or workers oppose that job because they recently defiled the church. And then I asked how they defiled the church. The reason is that you cannot get a license as officiating officer in solemnizing the wedding if you have no registration in the church. That's what.
That's the law in the Philippines. Is that
before?
Before. Is that a law in the Philippines?
I don't think so.
To legalize.
That's a law.
To legalize.
You have to have a license to marry somebody.
Yes.
To perform the wedding.
If it's a church wedding.
Okay.
But
okay.
Later on, at this present, some brothers have a license without registration in the church. Without the register, got a license of becoming a solemnizer of the wedding without the registration of the church.
Okay.
Then, even though without the registration of the church, one of the reason of the solemnizing officer, because they have the church is not involved, so they go on because they have. They have already a reason that the church is not involved. But still, the elders and other co-workers oppose it because it defiled the church because the saints and the church is involved during the wedding.
The church is involved.
Yes, in the wedding. Is my question is, what I feel, even though I just try to find it in the Bible, I cannot find it. But sometimes our brothers ask me, what's your reason? My answer, I can't find any reason, but my only answer is just talk to God. If God will permit you, then it will give you peace. But if God opposes you, then it will throw for you. That's the only that's the only answer that I can give to our brothers. But still some going, doing the job, while others stop it. I don't know how about what is the real reason.
Right. I don't know either. Well, in America, in the States, a captain of a ship or any officer, high ranking officer in the army, in the navy, or a pastor, or an elder of the church, they can perform the ceremony of the wedding anytime. Yes, not just emergency, they have the right to do it. The judge can do it. Right? So, and amongst us in the churches, it is not a job. It is not a job. You don't get paid for it. Maybe in Christianity, yes, they get paid for it. But amongst us in the church, we are just doing it for the saints. We don't even require them to get married. In the church marriage, so-called, because they can, brothers and sisters, they can go to a city hall and get married in front of a judge. Because ultimately, it is the city hall that is going to offer the marriage certificate. You. Right? And so, just to make it more official, the law says, well, if you're a pastor, you're an elder, you're a captain of the boat. Somebody wants to get married, all of them fell in love in a cruise. They want to get married in a cruise. Who's going to marry them, right? So the captain can marry them. Right? The captain has the right to, right? Well, I don't know of anyone who gets married in the airplane or something. Somebody wants to get married in the airplane, maybe the pilot will. Tell the co-pilot, okay, you take care, I have to perform it. You know, it is not very official, right? But a real official one is recognized by the law in the city hall. They are the ones that finally offer a marriage certificate to you. What the elder signing, and not just a nice piece of paper, but you cannot really use that. You need a certified certificate from the city hall, right? From the Department of Registry. So, actually, it is not a big deal. I don't know anyone in any of the churches that do that, getting paid to make money as a job. never consider it as a job. I think I did that twice in my whole life because I said the Lord didn't call me to perform marriage, but because they are very dear friends in the church and they want me to perform the ceremony. And it's not even a ceremony, because such a job is just to represent the government to marry these two people. So at the end of that ceremony, he always says, based upon the authority, right, vested upon me, or to me, by the state of California, I pronounce you. Very good. Right? I don't even know the exact wording. Tell me the advice. But, you know, it means nothing as far as a job is concerned. It is not a job of the elders to perform marriages, neither a job of any brothers to do it. But sometimes if the saints want to do it, praise the Lord. Right? They want to perform the marriage ceremony. And so the elder would just help to perform it, and that's it in a very simple way, right? But nobody gets paid for it. It's not a job. It's not a job, really. And it is not one of the jobs of the elder to marry the saints. No, the job of the elders is spiritual, right? And to be the overseers of the flock of God. Right? It is to take care of the house of the living God. It's not to marry people. That's not one of the jobs. So, without making an issue. I don't know in Mindanao whether it's a job or not. Do they get paid for doing that? I think in Christianity they get paid, right? The pastor gets paid. A monk says, I never heard of anybody getting paid because of officiating a marriage ceremony. No, I never get paid. Well, I did that for your brother, right?
Yes.
That is not for your brother. This is my brother-in-law. Right, it's the brother of my son-in-law, so what can I do, right? Nobody gets paid. No, it's not a job. It's not my job to do that. Right. But hey, you know, we just do it if we have to do it.
But the stuff, the brother's not doing that, so we just think that's not the job.
No, we should. if the brothers do it as a job. Well,
professional marriage.
What can I say, right? If, according to the law of Mindanao, you need to have someone officiate with a license. In the States, you don't need a license. I don't have a license. Okay, yeah. But as one serving the Lord, as a minister, I have the authority to do it. Okay? Without license, because the law says if you are an elder, if you are a minister, if you're a pilot, if you're a captain, you could officiate. Right? But according to your law, if your law says somebody needs a license to do it, and you want to do it for the convenience of the saints, without getting paid, not as a job, but you're doing it for the convenience of the brothers and sisters so that they don't have to go out there and find somebody with a license and pay them to do it. Right?
So the reason of our brothers, we did not ask to be paid, but just to offer, because there are many saints that have not been paid.
So that means they are not officially married. No license. Nothing. No, that's not good. Then that's not legal. So then in such a case, I would really advise the churches to have a brother get a license and legalize the marriage of the saints. Right. Because it's a testimony. Because people outside will say, you are Christians, how come you're living together without getting married?
That's right. That's one reason why they get
licensed. If that is the reason, then it is not a defilement for the church. It is a help for the church, right? As a testimony that we are following the law of the country and that our marriage is legal. We are not just cohabitation there. We don't practice cohabitation and living together without getting married. Right, so I would say in such a case, you have to do it. Because marriage should be legalized. Because it is a testimony to people outside. Because then people will say, how come if you don't get married, just live together. Right? So it is important. It is good as a living testimony to the people in the world that we are legally married. We are not loose people just living together. No. In such a case, right, it's not a job. It is not a job, but it is a help to the saints. So please do it.
Excuse me. In addition to the question, there's a law here under Article 7.
there is the law, yeah?
Marriage may be solemnized by one is the incumbent member of the judiciary.
Sorry?
Incumbent member of the judiciary.
Okay,
that's
right.
The judge, right?
Okay, the church.
Yes. And second, any priest, rabbi,
priest or rabbi, yes.
Imam, or minister of any church or religious sect duly authorized by the church or religious sect and registered with the civil registrar.
Right. Register the civil registrar. So comply to the law of the country. Comply. We must comply to the law. It is a testimony that even the people in the world that we are legal. But don't make it a job to make money out of the wedding ceremony. Don't make it an issue. We just do it.
It's another question.
Okay.
No problem.
We still have some time. Yes.
This is my original question.
Yes.
It was molded last day. When your mission regarding our humanity cannot be used in building the church. And we,
the old man,
our own ability, our own position, everything that we have cannot be used in the church, cannot be used for building in the church. What bothers me a little bit that since our old
humanity
cannot be used in the church. So, in short, directly speaking, we cannot be part of the church.
I understand your question. Yes.
So, what bothers me a lot, because Paul wrote in Corinthians that we are part of the body.
Right.
And every One is
a member of the body. Correct.
So, how can we? In what aspect? Paul, just explain.
I know. Absolutely. That's a very fine question. This is right. Of course, I don't mean that our fallen humanity. I don't mean that now we are no longer in the church, then I should leave the church. I don't mean that. Nothing Paul did not mean that when he said, put on the old man and put on the new man. And in Colossians chapter 3, the new man is neither Jews nor Gentiles, neither this nor that, but Christ is all. And this doesn't happen overnight. Not because we need to be transformed. We need to be transformed into the image of Christ. Why is it after so many years? Look at the churches, look at the denominations. It's such a big mess. It is because we, although we are believers and born again in our spirit. But we still carry this flesh with us all the time. This is why Paul says, as long as I am in this earthly tabernacle, we grow because we have so much problem with the flesh. And Paul meant that we have to put off the flesh, not to walk according to this flesh. Right? But in our spirit, we learn to gain the humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ to gradually replace our humanity and transform us into the image of Christ. If we don't do that, although, yes, each one of us is a member of the body of Christ, but look at the church in Corinth. So much problems. You have a problem of fornication. You have a problem of lawsuit. Fighting, envy, strife. You have so many problems there in the church of Corinth. Why? Because our natural humanity is fallen and corrupted. In the long run, we cannot build the church. No problem. And this has been our experience all these years. Right? So it does not mean that, okay, I'm just there doing nothing in the church. I might as well go to sleep after I get time. No, but we learn to realize that, no, Lord, it is no longer I, my process, but I want to do everything through Christ. Right? Like what Galatians chapter 2:20, I think you all know this verse. I have been crucified with Christ. This is a spiritual reality. If I want to experience that, I need to learn to live and walk according to the Holy Spirit in my spirit. Then Paul says, it is no longer I that live, but Christ who lives in them. And this is what we are talking about. The humanity of the Lord Jesus is today available to us and to you and me. If I learn to live Christ by the Spirit, this is why we have the Spirit here. And so Paul says in Galatians, do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Because if we live according to the flesh, then Paul has a long list of the works of the flesh. That's why we're fighting. We have division, we have envy, we have strife, we have fornication, and so many problems in the churches. And the church in Corinth is a very good example for that, right? And this is what we meant, that our humanity as it is fallen. And even if it is good, it is not good enough.
Yes.
And it is subject to corruption. I know many brothers who in the beginning are very good, and they look very good. But after a few years, they changed. Right? And I'm sure you know also some other brothers. In the beginning, very good. At the end, so much fun, right? Because they have never learned to really live this Christ. Right?
Just like our Lord Jesus Christ, as a man when he was on this earth, he has the right to make his own mind and to have his own choice. But he put his choice aside and took the Father's choice. Right? It doesn't mean that, he's not living anymore, not doing anything. But whatever he could do with all of his abilities, he learned just to put it aside and live. Do whatever the Father wants him. Right? And this is what we meant, right? The humanity of the Lord Jesus. Because if we don't do that, sooner or later there will be corruption. Yes, we are noble people. But this is a big problem. So if we don't learn to let the humanity of the Lord Jesus replace our humanity gradually, this is where the transformation process takes place. Right? For example, you may have, you may be a very gifted speaker. And if you just use that ability to build the church, it will not work. The Lord has to really deal with that so that you do not trust your own ability anymore. But you say, Lord, I give this to you. Sanctify, work on me. Otherwise, one day, you will think you are somebody because you can speak well. Right? And it's just like the story of Moses. Right? The Lord did not use Moses until he was 80 years old. Because in the very beginning, Moses used his own position as the son of the daughter of Pharaoh. And he used his own strength there, he killed an Egyptian trying to help him. You know, it didn't work. That's not God's ways. That is Moses' ways. So he had to run away and become a shepherd, right? And after 40 years, he doesn't trust in himself anymore. Then the Lord appeared to him and says, Moses, go back now. I'm going to send you to see the Pharaoh. 40 years ago, the Lord could not do that with Moses. Because Moses will be fighting with the Pharaoh and arguing. And there will be an argument with Pharaoh, right? But God, when he's 80 years old, God told him to go. He says, no, don't send me. I cannot even speak. I don't know how to speak. Of course he knows how to speak. Right? But he doesn't trust in that. He doesn't trust in himself. You know, he trusts in the living God. So then God could use him to carry out God's plan. God is not afraid if we are not very capable. God is afraid if we are too capable. Because at the end, you just stay in your throat, let me do the job. That's a big problem. That's a big problem. You don't need the Lord anymore to do his work. Just do it for him. This is not good. No. Because, in our natural life, we are very susceptible to temptation and corruption. This is why you see so many pastors in the beginning, they have a heart to serve the Lord, at the end, they're corrupted. When money comes in, they're corrupted. Position comes in, they're corrupted. When people begin to praise them, they're corrupted. They think they're somebody at the very end. And that is what we meant. Our humanity is not the right thing.
Right.
And the Lord's replacing our humanity doesn't mean that I don't exist anymore. but that he, through the Spirit, begins to work in me, change and transform my humanity. Right? So here Paul, in principle, can say, I have been crucified. It is no longer I who live.
Yes, yes.
That doesn't mean that, okay, he doesn't use his head anymore, right? No, it doesn't mean like that. But now, let Christ be the strength and the power and the controlling factor in his life. And this makes a very big difference. It makes a very, very big difference. Before, Paul was saying, my goodness, he is such a hard-headed, strong young man. Nobody could stop him. And he went everywhere breathing fire. It says he breathed fire. Everybody was afraid of him. But when the Lord appeared to him, and he was knocked down by the Lord, then he became blind. Right? And he became a different person. It's no longer him. And more he began to learn to live Christ. Then God could use him. If God did not change him, then God cannot use him. Right? So this is what we meant, that our natural old man is useless. But the Lord has a work on us. And through the Holy Spirit to work his humanity into our being. Yes, you still have your character, but then it is through this character that the Lord will express himself, will express Christ through you. Paul says he magnifies Christ. This is a difference. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
So God doesn't want a robot. You're not a robot. Yes, we are still all members of the body of Christ. But now, more and more, it is Christ and not we doing the work. Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay.
今天没有时间，不晓得我们在这里。稍微复杂一点。我们说到主耶稣的人性，我不知道能不能这样分。主耶稣从玛利亚生的，所以他带着肉体来，当然是带着人性。
那一个人性跟我们的人性不同，在于他没有罪，没有堕落的罪，不只是有罪，他的conception还有神，玛利亚怀孕是借着神，所以他生出来的时候带着神，那个性子。
在他是神所有的，所以在他身上，他的人性跟神性，他一出生就不能分，因为他的出生跟亚当被造是一样的，所以他的人性这一部分等不等于亚当没有堕落之前的人性，因为。
是不一样，
所以，说到主耶稣的人，比方说他降生之后，到了十二岁，他那个人性是没有堕落的人性，但在他里面还有个圣灵，就是圣性嘛。
但是主耶稣经过道，他是神性，已经有了，要不然的话就没有办法做那些神迹。所以他的人性是，他的人性带着神性，那是完全是两个是调和的。那主耶稣从十二岁到三十岁，甚至到三十三岁半。 他经过地上许多的困难，许多的试验，就像一粒麦子被压碎磨成细面，这一个过程是不是他的十二岁以前的人性？因为这个时间我想很难定义了哈。那他的人性是不是经过了一个过程？ 可能他当出生的时候那个人性是不一样的，这是一个。他有一个呢，他经过死而复活了，今天他坐在父神宝座的右边，他还是耶稣，他一直带着人性。但是他经过复活了，这个人性是不是在地上的人性又复活了？是有不同，照着罗马书。
Romans 12:1.
主耶稣的人性是经历他死而复活的这一个人性。为什么这样问呢？因为基督徒中间我知道的是有一班牺牲学派，他们只相信主耶稣是人，承认他是完美的人，他有一个完美的人性，但不相信他是神，所以他们所追求的就是主耶稣。 他们追求的就是主耶稣的这一些的美德，人性的美丽的美德。所以，我们要来追求经历主耶稣的人性，我的认知里，认识，不只是。
Because if we analyze it too far, right, we will always go to the extreme, just like some people believe that the Lord Jesus is not God, but only man. And he only became divine and a God after resurrection. This is because they analyze too far. Right? There are many mysteries that we cannot fully understand. Our understanding is changing, right? But we can only say, as the Bible said, for example, in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, this child given to us is called the mighty God. And yet he's a child, but he is also called the mighty God. Or in Micah chapter 5, verse 2, this man who is going to be born in Bethlehem, he is from of old. So you cannot really say, oh, well, what is what? But we can really say that when the Lord Jesus was on this earth, although
his conception was of the Holy Spirit, and he is the Son of God. Otherwise, he cannot walk on the sea, and he cannot change the water into wine, right? And he cannot command the storm to stop. And well, he did so many. He cannot love Lazarus to come forth, and right? He did so many things that no man can do, right? Right? And because he is at the same time, the Son of God, true man and true God. But then we can say this, that when he was on this earth dealing with the enemy, he put aside his divine power, but he deals with the enemy and live as a real man on this earth. Otherwise, Satan would say, of course you. Right? But no, the Lord Jesus knows that when he was on this earth, right, this one, when Satan came to tempt him, Satan tried to tempt him to bring out his divine nature. But the Lord says, no, man shall not live by bread alone. The Lord knows how to really kept his human nature there. That is why in the book of Hebrews, chapter 5, it says, although he was the Son of God, yet as a man he learned obedience through the things he suffered, although he was the Son. But why is it But the Lord separated that very clearly. How? I don't know. I don't know how he did it, but he did it. Right? But the Lord, praise the Lord, he is really such a wonderful being. Right? So, as a man, Hebrews chapter 5 says, he learned obedience. Through the things he suffered, he even cried out to God to save him. Right? You know, when I was very young, I didn't understand that. I said, yes, of course you can learn obedience. Because you're also God, right? Right? But later on, you really learn to understand that the Lord has that possibility and ability to really separate the divine nature in him and his human nature.
Which is a beyond the temple.
Not to use his superpower, right? And just to remain as a vulnerable man, it is more difficult. It is harder for the Lord. Can you imagine? You have the power, and yet you cannot use it. Right? And you let this people into your own creation, right? Right? That's why in the beginning was the Word, and all, you know, the Word was God, and the whole world is made by him, and then he became a man. And yet, just to live as a man of this earth. I don't know how he did it, but praise the Lord. And to bring that part of the real true humanity through resurrection into the firstborn Son of God, to bring us into that wonderful status, this is a mission.
Amen.
Okay, praise the Lord.
Amen.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
May the Lord help us all.
Amen.
Right? And to continue to lead us on. Right? Do not make an issue concerning the license, but help every brother to understand. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Okay. Let's have our dinner break.